This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
In this world there's a whole lot of trouble, baby. In this world there's a whole lot of pain. In this world there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be giving? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly?
Kia ora, talofa, ni hao, greetings, welcome. Welcome to Quiet Minds Mental Health Radio, Plains FM 96.9.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Beth Nobes, and I've come in to talk on Quiet Minds today on the topic of ADHD. There are a number of people in our community who have issues with ADHD, which is attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, and also some who have attention deficit disorder without any hyperactivity. I think what's quite important is for all this information to come across really well, and in particular, Beth being a person who works for a peer support organization, for it to come from a person who has personal lived experience of ADHD. So what I'm going to do is play a TED Talk that has been offered by a woman by the name of Jessica McCabe. She does a wonderful talk. It's called Failing at Normal, an ADHD Success Story. She's really quite clever, and she presents her story, her timeline, and her experience in a really good way. So what we'll do is we'll play that TED Talk, and then afterwards, I'll fill in the blanks for Canterbury about services that are available and things that I know that we can look to for our own community. So here we have Jessica McCabe.
Hello, brains. I say that to you because if you think about it, it wasn't really you that decided to come here today. It was your brain. And whether you decided to walk or drive, take a taxi, ride a bike, that decision was made by your brain. Behavior, all behavior, is affected by the brain. This is a story about my brain. So I was a smart kid. By 18 months, I was speaking in full sentences. By third grade, I was scoring post-high school on standardized tests. I had, as all my teachers agreed, so much potential. I was also struggling. I didn't have any friends outside of books. I was easily overwhelmed. I spaced out in class. I lost things constantly. And trying to get my brain to focus on anything I wasn't excited about was like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. But I was smart, so nobody was worried. It wasn't until middle school when I was responsible for getting myself to classes on time and remembering to bring my own homework that being smart wasn't enough anymore, and my grades started to suffer. My mom took me to the doctor, and after a comprehensive evaluation, I was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. If you're not familiar with ADHD, it has three primary characteristics: inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. Some people with ADHD have more of the inattentive presentation. Those are the daydreamers, the space cadets. Some have more of the hyperactive, impulsive presentation. Those are the kids that usually get diagnosed early. But the most common presentation is a combination of both. My doctor and my parents decided that given my shiny new diagnosis, maybe stimulant medication would succeed where spankings and lectures had failed. So I tried it, and it worked. The first time I took my medication, it was like putting on glasses and realizing I could see without squinting. I could focus. Without changing anything, my GPA went up a full point. Honestly, it was kind of miraculous. By 14, I had friends that liked me. By 15, I had published my first poem. I got a boyfriend. By 17, I knew I wanted to be a journalist. My local college had a program that would guarantee admission to USC. They had a really great journalism program. So I signed up at my local college, and I started taking classes. I moved in with my boyfriend. Things were going great until they weren't. I started having trouble making it to class on time. I aced a statistics course, but I forgot to sign up in time, so I never got the credit. I took classes so I could help my boyfriend with his career, but I completely lost sight of mine. I never made it to USC. By 21, I dropped out of college and moved back home. Over the next 10 years, I started and quit or was fired from 15 jobs. I ruined my credit. I got married and was divorced within a year. At this point, I was 32, and I had no idea what I was doing with my life, besides reading self-help books that didn't seem to be helping. What happened to all that potential? Was I not trying? No. I worked harder than anyone I knew. I didn't even have time for friends. I was that busy. I had potential, though. So my failure was clearly my fault. I just hadn't done what I needed to do to reach it. And honestly, I was tired of trying, putting more effort into life than everyone else, and falling farther and farther behind. At this point, I could have given up on myself. I could have decided that everyone who thought I had potential was wrong. But I didn't, because I knew that it was my behavior that had gotten me here. And behavior is affected by the brain. And my brain has ADHD. Looking at my behavior, I knew. Even with medication, even as an adult, my ADHD was still interfering with my life. What I needed to know was how and why, and more importantly, what could I do about it? I started to do some research. And I found a lot of great information. I found a lot of bad information too, but that's another talk. But there's good information out there. Websites, podcasts, talks by researchers and medical professionals. Books that would have been way more helpful than the self-help books I'd been using that were clearly written for normal, well, there is no normal, neurotypical brains. A lot of what I found, though, was either super technical or seemed like it was written for parents and teachers trying to deal with ADHD kids. There wasn't a lot that seemed intended for us, the people who have ADHD. So I started a YouTube channel. I had no idea how to start a YouTube channel, but I started a YouTube channel. I almost called it How Not to ADHD, because that was about all I knew at the time. But my boyfriend, Edward, talked me out of it. Turns out lots of people need help understanding ADHD, including, maybe especially, those who actually have it. I was no exception. I thought ADHD was kind of the same for everybody. I thought it was mostly about getting distracted. I thought having ADHD was maybe the reason that I was failing at life. And I thought I was what needed to change in order to be successful. I couldn't be successful and still be me. Spoilers, I was wrong. So let's go back for a second. Let's go back to what brought us here today. The brain. Understanding the brain you're working with, it turns out, is kind of important. And that's true whether that brain is your employees, your students, your kids, your significant others, or your own. ADHD affects between 5 and 8% of the global population, which means, statistically speaking, there's between 37 and 60 of us just in this room. You can't tell who we are just by looking, but it's fun to watch you try. So at some point, you're going to meet someone with ADHD. Work with them, give birth to them, or fall in love with them. Chances are, you already have. And at some point, you're going to ask yourself, what is going on in their brain? So after 2 years of learning about ADHD and a lifetime of experience with it, after having the honor of connecting with researchers and doctors and ADHD experts and tens of thousands of ADHD brains all over the world, what can I tell you to help you understand ADHD? By the way, many of them helped with this talk. First of all, it's real. It's not bad parenting or lack of discipline. ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder. It's currently the most well-researched mental condition, and there are actually measurable differences in the brain. These differences are larger in children, but for most people, they never go away. In other words, adults have ADHD too. While rates of ADHD diagnosis are increasing, it's not because of an increase in sugar or technology or lack of spanking. It's not. Any more than people drowning in swimming pools is because of Nicolas Cage. Correlation does not equal causation. Those are real numbers. It's from both an increase in understanding that ADHD exists, that girls, adults, and gifted students can have it too, and ironically, a lack of understanding that being hyper, misbehaving, or struggling in school does not mean you have ADHD. ADHD is more serious than I realized. The primary characteristics in inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity don't sound all that serious, and I didn't think that they were, but in real life, they translate to people getting into more accidents, being more likely to get fired, get divorced, significantly more likely to struggle with addiction. I learned that ADHD is on a spectrum. Raise your hand if you've ever lost your keys or spaced out in the middle of a lecture. If you're not raising your hand, I'm going to assume you spaced out in the middle of this one. The thing is, while everyone experiences ADHD symptoms sometimes, an actual diagnosis is based on how many of those symptoms significantly and chronically impair multiple aspects of your life. Just like you can get sad and not have depression, you can get distracted and not have ADHD. And just like you can have mild depression or severe depression, ADHD can range from mild to severe. I also learned ADHD is a terrible name for ADHD. It creates a lot of confusion. We don't have a deficit of attention. What we have trouble with is regulating our attention. As ADHD coach Brett Thornhill puts it, it's like your brain keeps switching between 30 different channels and somebody else has the remote. Sometimes we have trouble focusing at all, and other times we get stuck on a channel and can't pull ourselves away, which in real life might look like we just don't want to do homework because we'd rather play video games. And sure, sometimes that's the case. But the truth is, there are plenty of times we want to be able to focus. We try, and we just can't. Current understanding is that this difficulty has to do with the way our brains produce and metabolize neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine. I learned ADHD is highly treatable. Stimulant medication boosts these neurotransmitters, which is why it helps us focus. It's very effective for around 80% of people with ADHD. And I learned that medication isn't enough. ADHD affects much more than our focus. It impairs executive functions like planning, prioritizing, and ability to sustain effort toward a goal. It affects our ability to regulate our emotions, our behavior, our sleep. It's not one program in our brain that it works differently. It's the whole operating system. It can affect every aspect of our lives. And there are a ton of strategies out there that can help. Cognitive behavioral therapy, coaching, even meditation or regular exercise can make a huge difference. Understanding your brain. I knew I had trouble focusing, and I knew my medication helped with that. What I didn't know was that getting overwhelmed all the time had to do with poor working memory, and that making lists helps. Or that the reason I ran late all the time wasn't because I didn't care. It's because ADHDers have a skewed sense of time, and that using a timer could teach me how long things actually take. Mostly I expected to learn what I actually learned, that ADHD is real, addressing it is important, and medication is not enough. What I didn't expect to learn, that I wasn't alone. I had an ADHD tribe. What a difference it would make to connect with it. There are people with ADHD in every country, every culture across the globe. Yes, even in France. And this tribe is awesome. Comparing myself to people with neurotypical brains, I felt really bad about myself. Why couldn't I keep my house clean or finish a project in time instead of waiting till the very last second? But seeing the positives in fellow ADHD brains helped me recognize and appreciate my own strengths, ones I couldn't see when I was just staring at my weaknesses, which is what I'd been doing for decades. But ADHD brains have a lot to offer the world. We tend to be generous, funny, creative. ADHDers are 300% more likely to start their own business. We not only think outside the box, we're often not even aware there is a box. We may struggle when our brains aren't engaged, but ADHD brains are great at tackling tasks that are urgent. working with ideas that are new, wrestling with problems that are challenging, and dedicating themselves to projects that are of personal interest. This YouTube career I'd stumbled into was all of those things. At 32, I was divorced, miserable, and had no idea what I was doing with my life. At 33, I'd started my own business and was connecting with ADHD experts. By now, at 34, I have a team of volunteers helping with the channel. I'm engaged to this amazing man who helps me produce the channel, works right alongside with me, is doing the slides right now. And as we discovered, also has ADHD. I'm working on reaching out to schools so that kids don't have to wait until they're 32 to learn about their brains. And I'm doing my very first TEDx talk here with you today. But wait, there's more. Wait. That did sound like the end of the speech. I'm sorry, it's not. I'm happier and more successful than I've ever been in my life. So what happened? How did I reach my potential? Three things. One, I learned about my brain, my ADHD brain, both on my own and by connecting with others who have it. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it is stupid. Unless it happens to chat with another fish and realizes fish aren't great at climbing trees, and that's okay. There's plenty of ocean. Two, in learning about my brain, I found and stumbled into a job that engages it. If you spend all your time trying to get a fish to be able to climb a tree, you'll never see how far it can swim. It turns out I can be me and still be successful. I just had to find my ocean. Three, I learned strategies for the challenges I still face. I have no fish analogy for this one, I'm sorry. I guess I learned how to swim. Once you know what your brain's challenges are, you can find solutions to them. Once you look past the stereotypes and assumptions about people with ADHD and dig deeper, you learn what ADHD actually is. It's not people who won't stop fidgeting or getting distracted. It's brains that are chronically under-aroused, trying to get the basic level of stimulation all brains need. It's not about procrastinating or not caring. It's having executive function deficits that make it hard to get started. And it's not people being lazy or not trying enough. It's kids and adults struggling to succeed with a brain that doesn't always want to cooperate in a society that wasn't built for them. Society is our user's manual. We learn how our brains and bodies work by watching those around us. And when yours works differently, it can feel like you're broken. So what I'm trying to do is reach out to these people, wherever they are in the world, and tell them, you are not weird. You are not stupid. You do not need to try harder. You are not a failed version of normal. You are different. You are beautiful. And you are not alone. If you don't have ADHD yourself, chances are you know somebody who does. They're your employee, your boss, your friend. They're in this room. I hope this talk helps you understand them better. If you do have ADHD, welcome to the tribe.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. What I found very interesting in that was the emotion that she was able to show and how responsive her audience was. I think if it was me, and it was, that what you'd want to do is you would want to be able to go and see that talk so that you can see what is also happening on the screen. You won't have missed much. She's very descriptive. The way she presented it seemed to me to be quite fine for listening to on the radio without being able to see it. But if you want to see it, then you do the usual. You go www.ted.com/talks/Jessica_McCabe, M-C-C-A-B-E_. It won't matter. As soon as you do that, the rest of the title will pop up, Failing at Normal, an ADHD Success Story, and that'll be the right address, and it'll pop up with that TED Talk, and you can watch the whole thing. The part in the middle where there's applause is lovely because she talks about how she has a new relationship and she's engaged and that fellow is doing sound for her today and comes out on stage and that's why everybody in the audience applauds because she just breaks down and cries a little bit. But then she gets right back to talking. It's quite inspiring to see how she manages that. What I wanted to say about it was that it is so inspirational to hear the perspective of a person who struggled for about 30 years with trying to figure out who she was and how she could work in a normal world. And we, our community of people with lived experience of all the things, we have exactly the same experience. As teenagers, we can't understand why other people aren't so upset by the things that upset us. As adults, we can't figure out how to explain ourselves to people who might be a potential partner but really can't seem to understand us. We have to fit inside a rigid definition in a work world, in relationships, in neighborhoods. So I loved the way that she made that all sound like a struggle that is resolvable because that's our experience in the peer support community is that people find their way to resolve that. Now, in talking about ADHD, there are good sources and international sources, and I have a few pieces of paper here that I'm going to read from, which means I'm going to be rattling paper, and they always scowl at me when I do that, so I'm apologizing in advance. The first clinical CDHB-funded support that you can access is Whakatata House, and they have an excellent reputation for working with children in the community. They are part of the Child, Adolescent, and Family Department of Canterbury District Health Board, and they are accessible by phoning Kay or Susie, and they have a web address here. So I'm going to give you their email address, which is a bit forward, but what the heck. K-A-Y-E dot W-O-L-L-A-N-D at C-D-H-B dot H-E-A-L-T-H dot N-Z. Now, this was available to me. This email address was posted right on the website that I looked up, so I Googled ADHD Canterbury, and what came up was a pamphlet, a PDF of a pamphlet of their service. So if you do that and you Google it, you'll be able to see all the services that they offer, all the supports, how to get a hold of them, and that was one of the email addresses available, and the phone number was 027-839-4722. They also have a Facebook page called ADHD and Neurodiversity Support Group, Christchurch, New Zealand, which I find fantastic because ADHD is one of those titles that is a deficit. It's a disorder. It's a diagnosis. This is the box you fit in. What we're looking for is to have a bit more acceptance on the topic of diversity and divergence, where our way of being isn't necessarily wrong, it's only different, and there are strengths in that. So you could get us going on this topic in the peer organization in Canterbury. We could talk a long time, but I won't today. We are going to invite Hannah back in a couple of weeks to talk about how her Divergence Festival went, so you're going to be able to hang on for that. Another thing I found for our area is something called ADHD.org.nz, so that was their website address. And they give definitions and they give things that people have as criteria. So if somebody's doing an assessment, they might want to know about how short is your attention span, how often are you late, how disorganized are you, how hyperactive are you restless, do you fidget, can't sit still, do you have trouble sleeping, how much impulsivity is there, are you interrupting people, are you accident prone. So these things I've just listed are also on a website. You can just go and look them up and have some thinking on your own behalf about whether you think you need to talk to a professional or not. Those with ADHD have many benefits and generally have normal intellect. However, they also have a characteristic group of symptoms which, if undiagnosed, may lead to slower development in achievement and social skills. And that's a quote from their page, and I think that's a well-balanced quote. I've actually got a number of friends whose children have some versions of ADHD, and And the point is that every child is different, and every child manages a different kind of behavior and adaptation and success. So all you're really looking for is some ways to guarantee that your child has all the support they need to gain whatever kind of success they're going to. There's a lot on that page that I found, that ADHD.org.nz. There's a thing, what you need to know, ethnicity, social economic groups, medication, that kind of stuff is there. One of the other sites I found that is very helpful is supportingfamilies.org.nz. We're familiar with Supporting Families because they're an organization in town who works with the whānau of people who have lived experience of depression, anxiety, and ADHD. So they have a very good program. They're at 275 Hereford Street, and their phone number is 366-9284. They'll have a lot of information available to you if you are a family member of a person and you want to have more information or you want to join a support group. There are support groups for parents of people with ADHD, and that can be also accessed through that Whakatata house. And so helpful. Like, why isn't it helpful about having a support group of people who are familiar with what you're going through? The last thing that I found on all of my web searches was the Mental Health Foundation. So we're all quite familiar with the Mental Health Foundation in New Zealand. They do fantastic work. And if you were to Google Mental Health Foundation and then Google ADHD, you'd come up with a wonderful page called ADHD in Adults. And I think one of the funny things for all of us is that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people may not have been diagnosed with something. They may just have been hassled, punished, isolated, misunderstood. And these are people who are adults now, and they have had ADHD for decades and don't know that they have it or don't know things they could do about it and don't feel supported at all. So I think it's a really interesting idea to go and look at ADHD in adults and find out if there's anything that's available. There are psychology options. There's a place called Christchurch Psychology. There's another place called Children's Clinic and Allergy Centers. So once you Google ADHD Canterbury or Christchurch, you will find a lot of options available to you. And I just hope that everybody who's listening to this who is really fascinated by it will follow through and take a good look at the many options, the many supports that are out there, and also to broaden our definition of what is different, what is divergent, and what is valuable in our community in the way of difference, and accepting other people's unusual behavior is really being an accepting human in our community. That's me for this week. Beth from the Peer Support signing off. Hope you've enjoyed this show, and we will talk to you again next week. Thank you.
You can download this and other Quiet Minds programs by going to plainsfm.org.nz and clicking on podcasts. This show repeats on Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.
In this world there's a whole lot of cold. In this world there's a whole lot of plain. In this world you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. There's a star on the far horizon, rising bright in an azure sky. For the rest of the time that you're given, why walk when you can fly?